Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
The Sliwa Show podcast is proudly brought to you by VSLiquor.com. It's rough out there right now. Let's make it a little easier with VSLiquor.com. Just click what you're looking for and it's shipped right to your door. Simple as that. VSLiquor.com. Make sure you type in the code SPORTS when you check out and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com. Oh, Mario. Making it happen as always. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Sliwa Show will go till 9 o'clock tonight. Definitely, as always, looking forward to doing the show. Joe Vardon covers the NBA for The Athletic. We'll join the show at 7 o'clock. We'll talk some NBA, kind of get some updates. He had a specific article about the some of the top reasons why it looks like if the NBA does come back, why it's going to be in Orlando. So we'll talk about that. And then Billy Witz covers college sports for the New York Times. In the 8 o'clock hour, we'll join the show as well. Funches just told me, Allen changed the channel, go to ESPN, just put it on ESPN. Kobe's farewell, his final game with the Los Angeles Lakers after an unbelievable 20 years. ESPN is re-airing that right now, so that's on in the background as well. I want to start off the show. You know, yesterday I got the opportunity to do Lakers talk, and, you know, as always, we make that show. Talk as much Lakers as possible, but also a lot of NBA-centric topics. And it was great because you felt that momentum that we feel like sports is on its way back. The certain states are starting to open up now and say, okay, you know what, follow these health guidelines, and there's a good chance that your sport can be playing again. That has more of an effect for baseball, at least, you know, obviously here in the state of California. So there's been some progress, and we keep updating listeners on what that progress is. At the same time, I feel like we take a step forward, we take a step back. We take two steps forward, we take a step back. I do want to play this because this is a fantastic, fantastic piece, and I don't think the whole thing has come out. I think we just got a snippet of this. Bryant Gumbel, HBO's Real Sports, had the union heads on. Tony Clark, Michelle Roberts, and Damaris Smith. So he had the head union for Major League Baseball, for the NBA, and the NFL. How about that? I mean, just think about that Zoom call right there, which was a fantastic conversation. And I'm talking about just from this, you know, 2 minutes that I got a chance to see. I'm sure we'll obviously get to see this in length. But it was fascinating to see all these union representatives speaking on behalf of these big time leagues, obviously the three most popular sports here in the States, and giving a little bit of, okay, this is a look inside the window of some of the challenges that they're dealing with. We all know there's challenges, by the way, and we might, you know, we sit here in our homes and we're watching SportsCenter, we're listening to the radio shows, obviously listening to 710 ESPN. And a lot of times we're just kind of taking it all in. All right, come on, figure it out. If you can make it happen from a health perspective, just figure it out. So let me give everybody just I want to set this up the right way and give everybody a quick idea of this bite that I'm about to play. So Tony Clark, who obviously runs Major League Baseball, Michelle Roberts of the NBA, and then, like I mentioned, Damaris Smith of the NFL. They were asked a specific question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that your sport will return in 2020? So the likelihood of their sport returning. So here is here's Bryant Gumbel from HBO's Real Sports, and he proposes this question to the three union leaders, and here's their responses.
I will tell you, I remain optimistic. I do. I know that's not a number, but I do remain optimistic.
And this is Tony Clark, by the way. Seven? Tony Clark.
Seven would be a C, eight would be a B, eight and a half, maybe a B plus. I am in the B plus range. I was an A minus B plus student, so I'll land there. But I'll tell you, it's really not that simple. You know, even today got an update as to how, you know, we don't know everything we want to know and how things are continuing to change. But I do remain optimistic that we'll get back out there and play.
Can you give me a number, Michelle, NBA?
I'll give you a six. It was probably an eight last week. I've gotten some recent concerns expressed by players now that babies, children have been infected. So heightened concerns have come into the conversation. So I'd say a six.
All right. Dee, I'll give you the last word, the last number.
Well, yeah, UVA law graded on a curve. So I'm going to go with a, probably a 6-7. But, you know, look, a lot depends on what happens with the other sports. And to say that we aren't looking at what's going to be happening in basketball and baseball, and we're not looking at how they work through these things, I'd be lying to you if we're not. So how about if I go with 6-7 on a curve?
All right. So those are powerful, powerful union leaders for Major League Baseball, for the NBA, and obviously for the NFL. So Tony Clark was the first one on that list. He said he graded it instead of giving a score, but scale of 1 to 10, he said a B plus, A minus. Okay, so you're talking 8.5 to 9 range is where Tony Clark put Major League Baseball. So let me stay on that for a quick second, because this is as hot of a topic as there is in sports right now. We know that the players are not happy with the finances, the 50-50 split. Now there's a player scale that's being presented, and now it's up for Tony Clark and the Players Association to come back to the owners and hopefully come back with a plan that, you know, everybody can make some sacrifices and understand what the circumstances are, and hopefully we get baseball back if it's healthy to play. But I like the fact that Tony Clark, obviously scaling it 8.5 to 9 range on the likelihood of his specific sport returning in 2020. Okay, that obviously makes you positive to think of that, especially because it's the players that are incredibly upset with the owner's proposal to try and put baseball back in 2020. We'll see what happens there. Later in the show, I'll talk about what that, you know, that scale looks like that I'm referring to, that Major League Baseball that the owners came to the players union with. Okay, that's one. The second one is Michelle Roberts. You heard her, who represents the players in the NBA. She said she was at an 8 last week, but is now down to a 6. She mentioned that recent concerns expressed by players, now that babies, children have been infected, that's a heightened concern based on those conversations. We know that the owners and Board of Governors meeting this Friday. I don't know how much information or how much insight's going to come out of that, but it will be exactly what Adam Silver has been saying for, you know, the last 2.5 months. We'll come with more information. When we come with more information, hopefully that will get us closer to having more and more data to determine if we're going to have an NBA season or not. But out of the three sports that gave their scale, okay, that one, you know, I would of course be concerned to hear the head of the players union for the NBA say that last week was an 8, but now it's down to 6. Now, the reason that went down, or at least her confidence went down, she's being honest, that there's players out there that say, okay, well, there's more concern now. And this is, you know, obviously from medical experts, that babies and children have been infected. And now you have a lot more players or a lot more families are saying, okay, well, that worries us more than before. We thought maybe it was just more somebody who was elder. And not to say that that takes away any of the concern, because it shouldn't, and I don't think it does. But there's more concern now because, you know, obviously it could have a different effect on babies than maybe the NBA or the Players Association thought before, as more information comes out. Yesterday, that wasn't the conversation. So I know for most of us, and we started looking at all these different proposals and plans, and would it be a World Cup style format? Would it be a 1-16 playoff series? Are there going to be play-in games? I spent a lot of time on that yesterday, and I loved it. I kept talking about how exciting it is to get that opportunity to talk about who the Lakers would play in the first round. If they did play in the first round, would it be, you know, a team that we weren't expecting to play? Memphis is in a play-in game. They get knocked out by New Orleans. Now, all of a sudden, first-round matchup, it's Brandon Ingram. It's Lonzo Ball. It's Drew Holiday, Zion Williamson, J.J. Redick. It would be a completely, completely different scenario than we had originally envisioned. So I know for me that is so much different from the conversation I was having yesterday. But I feel, and I said this a little bit earlier, I feel like Friday's a big day for the NBA. And I'm not saying that, you know, the NBA is going to make a decision on whether they're going to have a season or not, because Mason even mentioned on Crosstalk, I think Woj sent out a tweet that there's no, you're not walking out of Friday knowing whether there's going to be a Lakers season or there isn't, not just Lakers, but the NBA in general. But I think the insight that it does hold is a lot more questions. Is there going to continue to be more momentum? Are there going to be more blocks in the road that we didn't expect? So I do think Friday is a big day for the NBA, and you know, obviously specifically here in Los Angeles. You, of course, have such a massive amount of Laker fans that are curious, and Clipper fans as well. Listen, Clippers have a reason. If you're a Clipper fan out there, you have a reason to be excited to get the season back too. The Clippers are an extremely talented team. So obviously for both franchises, that's big. And then the last one was Damaris Smith of the NFL. He said a 6 or a 7 if he's grading on a curve. But I thought it was interesting too when he says they will be tracking what happens in baseball and in basketball. The NFL, of course, has the advantage of just from a strictly timing perspective, they can watch to see what happens in the NHL. They could watch to see how things progress in the NBA and Major League Baseball if all three of these sports move along and finish their seasons, or in baseball, in their circumstance, start their season and then, of course, try to finish it. So baseball, I don't want to say that can is being kicked down the road. It's not being kicked down the road. They're just, from a timing perspective, have that ability of saying, well, we'll just kind of keep an eye on things and we won't cancel anything until we're forced to. Obviously, the NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball were forced to. Okay, so let's do this when we come back, because we got a chance to hear from Adrian Wojnarowski, who was on Get Up this morning. Doris Burke was also on Get Up, and a few different conversations about playing out the season. Also some conversation about Damian Lillard's comments, and Damian Lillard was on Jalen and Jacoby, so I want to play a little bit of that. I know yesterday I spent a lot of time saying that I wasn't crazy about some of the stuff Damian Lillard said, so we'll do all that coming up next. If you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. As always, greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is The Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. Do you ever just like a song where you just don't want to interrupt it? You know, you just want to kind of let it go for as long as possible.
No, Jesse picks the best music.
You're never gonna. Poor guy's never gonna get the credit. Curtis is never gonna get the credit. Longball.org. They bought it, fellas. They bought, at least for one time, longball.org, which 100% is the worst made up website you can come up with. Would you guys both agree with that?
I don't know. I think baseball.com would have been more on the nose.
Longball.org.
The org sold it, because then it was like, oh, it's a
that's
nonprofit.
That's true. The org is
it's a nonprofit. Yeah, that's right.
And that's when you're like, all right.
Well, here's the thing. If I was going to go longball.com, the issue was there's actually a website called longball.com. So I thought 100% both Mace and Island would go to the site and just be like, what are you talking about? This is a retail store. So I just got to throw in the org there.
You also have to hope it's not like a different site than what you think it was.
And that's exactly why I went on it. That's exactly why I had to look it up. Okay, so more.
Oh, and it's not even like a baseball clothing store.
I think it's
golf.
All gear. Yeah, it's all gear. Huh, or it might be just golf.
It looks like golf.
Okay, so the latest here. So as we're talking about, which, you know, it was – Jesse brought it up to me earlier today. He's like, yeah, Tony Clark, Michelle Roberts, and Damaris Smith were all on with Brian Gumbel. I'm like, what do you mean they were all on? You mean they're all having this conversation together? All the heads of, you know, obviously the union heads for the three major sports here in the States. And we listened to that conversation. And I mentioned that Michelle Roberts, if she had to give the likelihood of her sport returning in 2020 on a scale of 1 to 10, she said she'd give it about a 6. And she had specific reasons why. I do, and as we always do, love hearing from Adrian Wojnarowski. He was on Get Up this morning. He just kind of gave his thoughts on the next steps for the NBA's return.
Adam Silver and the Players Association are drilling down this week into the details of what the structure is going to look like. How many regular season games, how many teams are going to be asked to return, and then what's the pathway to into the playoffs for those teams. There's a Board of Governors meeting on Friday afternoon, Greeny. And that's going to be an opportunity for the owners and Adam Silver to go through the details of a potential plan or move closer to finalizing a potential plan. And so, you know, I think there's some answers coming here by the end of the week for how an NBA return is going to look.
So this is what I get excited about for Friday, because we've had some of the ideas. Now they'll come with some type of formal proposal to the NBA or to the Players Association and say, look, this is our thoughts. This is what we're thinking. This is what we think is realistic. This is what we think will meet the health guidelines or the guidelines from a health perspective. So that's what I feel like Friday is. So Friday doesn't have to be we're having an NBA season or we're not. I will say that it's been – Friday will be – this upcoming Friday will be 3 weeks since Adam Silver said that the next 2 to 4 weeks is when we'd like to kind of decide if whether we can play the rest of the season out. And he said it doesn't have to be in May. It could even come in sometime in June. Well, we're obviously approaching that timeline, so we're getting closer to that. I want to play one other. Spencer Dinwiddie, who was on First Take, obviously the Nets guard, has been a fantastic sixth man in the NBA. He mentions that they're playing it by ear when it comes to the NBA's return right now.
We actually don't know too much more than the general public right now. You know, Adam Silver is, you know, doing his thing as a commissioner and relaying the messages, and Michelle Roberts, as our union president, is doing her thing as well. So we're just kind of playing it by ear. We did open up the practice facility, but it's not mandatory that we go back to New York as of this moment right now. And so we're just continuing our training and trying to stay as ready as possible.
All right. So yesterday, another big conversation that came out. That was Spencer Dinwiddie, by the way. Another thing that came out, and, you know, of course, this is going to be continue to be the conversation. Okay, if you do come back, what's it going to look like? And how is it going to affect each and every team? Are all 30 teams going to get a chance to make it to the postseason, which I think is absolutely ridiculous if the Atlanta Hawks and the Golden State Warriors have a chance to make the postseason after having as awful of a season as they did? And look, some of it could be the Atlanta Hawks aren't good, or in the Golden State Warriors, from their perspective, they were just injured all season. But definitely don't want to see anything where all 30 teams get in. But this is the conversation. The conversation is, what would the playoff format look like? How many teams are coming in? Are you making it 1 through 16 where you're mixing in the East and the West? Doris Burke, NBA analyst Doris Burke, was on Get Up this morning. And she's, I think, one of all our favorites to listen to. She was giving her thoughts about whether the NBA should go directly to the postseason or still play some kind of games. And I'm talking about regular season games to accommodate not just that hitting that local revenue goal of 70 games, but obviously also some kind of ramp up for all the players to get back into basketball shape. Here's Doris Burke.
From the moment talk of restarting this season began to up until yesterday, my thought has been, if the standard of safety is the first and primary thing, then it should be the 16 teams that have earned their way through 75 to 80% of games played. I don't believe under any circumstance that we should be exposing more people than is necessary to this virus. The virus is not done with us yet. So I don't even like the idea. And listen, I say that knowing I had a conversation with Steph Curry, and very casually he said to me, I am trying to wrap my mind around the idea that I may not play NBA until late 2020 or perhaps 2021. So the idea of not seeing Steph, of not seeing Damian, not seeing Trae Young. Yes, it's difficult for all of us, but let's keep the main thing the main thing. Let's establish a standard of safety, acknowledging some inherent risk, and let's get some resolution to the season.
So that's Doris Burke right there. And a couple things come up when I hear Doris, which, listen, it's a fair point. What Doris is trying to say is, you know, if safety and health concerns are obviously the biggest concern, the less teams that you have participate. If you just take 16 teams, the 8 that are in the East and the West right now, and you obviously eliminate the other 14 teams, well, you're instantly in a position where that's a ton of personnel, coaches, players that you're not mixing in, let's just use Orlando as the site that we end up playing at. That's a big piece that now goes away. But then there's other players, and I know I've mentioned this, Damian Lillard, right? Damian Lillard, Steph Curry could be an example, but that's not a great example simply because the Golden State Warriors were so far out of the mix. There's been a ton of conversation, and a little bit later in the show, we'll get a chance to hear from Damian Lillard. He was on Jalen and Jacoby a little bit earlier today, or might have actually been yesterday, but he gets to kind of explain his reasoning and his points. But one of the big topics yesterday was Damian Lillard saying, if my team is not in contention, you're not going to see me playing. I'll be there for my team, but you're not going to see me playing. Doris Burke kind of continues on that front on Damian Lillard and some of his reasoning if the Blazers obviously are not there in the playoff mix.
Well, it stands in stark contrast to the thoughts coming out of Golden State where they say, listen, we're going to be good soldiers no matter what. But if you know Damian Lillard, he is going to speak his truth quietly and clearly. And if you know their history, it suggests that he obviously, with his coaching staff and the experience they have and the potential for Yusuf Nurkic to return and perhaps Zach Collins, their history suggests they could get into a playoff. And so to ask him to come back, to ramp up and prepare all that's required to be ready for an NBA game, to have no meaningful, real competitive opportunity to get into the playoffs, I believe he has a valid point.
All right, that's Doris Burke right there. And I was, listen, and I'm on the opposite end of this. I do feel just because of the circumstances and where we are, I think it's okay right now to kind of just do what's in the best for, what's in the best interest of the league, do what's in the best interest for fans. Fans want to see at least, even if it's 7-8 games, and I know there's no meaning to them, which I don't believe that's going to be the case. I do feel there will be some type of playing game. I just genuinely believe that the NBA will find a way to add more playoff games, which means a play-in game. So these are technically playoff games because whatever teams win end up competing in the postseason. But you don't want to see, I guess from my perspective, I just personally don't want to see players that have a chance to come back under these circumstances. The entire country is just hoping to get sports back. It's a bad look when millionaires are like, yeah, well, maybe I'll come back to work or not. It just depends if I'm going to make the playoffs or not. By the way, it's not that I don't understand his point. I just don't agree with it. Okay, so Joe Varden, who writes for The Athletic, Disney World's potential message as NBA host, it's safe to come to our parks. It is clear that Disney World is the leading candidate, the front runner, that if there's NBA basketball, it's going to be at Disney World. And Joe Varden's got an article right now in The Athletic that talks about what some of the advantages are and really what the NBA is trying to accomplish by doing by playing the rest of the season from Disney World, including the playoffs. So Joe Varden coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
I want to welcome in Joe Varden from The Athletic. Disney World's potential message as NBA host, it's safe to come to our parks. Great story right now on The Athletic. Joe, thanks for taking the time, bud. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. How are you guys?
Doing okay. Doing all right. I think everybody just, probably the best way to put it, taking it day by day. I know out here in Los Angeles, a lot of fans just looking to see if we're going to get that opportunity to play some NBA this year and see if the Dodgers and the Angels get a chance to, you know, obviously start their season as well. But got a chance, obviously, to read your article, and I appreciate you taking the time to do this. First question I'll ask you is, what kind of message is sent if Disney World can create a safe atmosphere for NBA and its players? What do you think that kind of builds visually if they can pull this off?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is genius on the part of Bob Iger, and it's pretty straightforward. If Disney World is safe for LeBron, it's safe for you. That's the message here. Now, a lot has to go right for this to happen. And I was not surprised at all today when Disney announced that you know, I think July 10th or 11th is when they're going to open up the Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom, and then a week or two later they'll do the other two parks, which is right around the time when we think the NBA is going to start. That doesn't surprise me, because every cutaway and every shot coming in and out of every game on every TV network needs to show people in the park for this to work. So that's the first thing. But then the next thing, of course, is that they need to get through this tournament or whatever it's going to be without anybody really getting sick. Of course, we're not going to bat 1,000 when it comes to this. Someone's going to get it and miss games, or a ref or a coach or, you know, a writer, whatever. Someone is not going to go from start to finish without getting sick. But if the NBA can avoid a massive outbreak during those 2 months, that is a huge success for Disney. Huge.
Joe Varden from The Athletic joining the Sliwa Show. Joe, so just kind of looking at it, you know, you mentioned, so is the idea opening up Disney World, is that July 12th date you gave, right around there?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
What does that mean if, let's say they open up Disney World, what does it mean specifically for the NBA? So are they going to be in an area where there is no, you know, they're not exposed to a ton more people, or people who are just coming to Disney World? How isolated do you think they would be?
Well, Alan, I mean, that's a great question, and that's one that I think we need to hear from the NBA now on. That was not really something that that the Disney folks discussed today, which is how do you keep the NBA and its couple hundred players separate from the park goers. Now, the park won't be at full capacity. It will be interesting to see how many of their customers are staying at the hotels. So for those first couple months, will they limit it to Florida guests? That's a possibility, I suppose. If it isn't, now you're talking about, well, who has access to which hotels? You know, in Florida, you know, it's a lot different than Disneyland, which is right down the street from you guys. There are numerous resorts all within Disney's property there, whereas at Disneyland, there are only two. We're talking, you know, dozens, but there are only a few that you would say are nice enough to host these multi-million dollar athletes. So do you just close those hotels off and maybe only one or two of them? That makes it easier, but then you've got this idea, kind of going back to what I was saying at the beginning, like for Disney to capitalize on this, you need LeBron and Giannis and whoever else on their off days going to the parks, but it looks so much better if they're there when there are patrons. So yeah, like this is a little confusing to me from an NBA perspective, how you keep these athletes and their families completely separate from this population of oncoming patrons.
Joe, you know what I'm curious about? What happened to, so there were talks at one point that MGM Resorts, you know, was obviously also making a pitch to the NBA. What happened to that? It seemed like it was hot and then it cooled down. Is there still a chance that this would be done at multiple sites, or do you feel at this point that if they are going to do it, it's going to be in Orlando?
Well, the NBA has never really said much about the Las Vegas proposal, or even really confirmed it, or had said at any point that Las Vegas was a, quote, front runner for this. I think you have to look at a couple things. I think you need to look at the NBA's relationship with Disney, obviously as a huge billion-dollar-plus partner every year for TV rights. That's one. But then also specifically the relationship with Bob Iger, who has served as an advisor to Adam Silver during this pandemic, for one. And then also, I mean, he is a friend and mentor to Chris Paul, who, of course, is the head of the Players Union. So that, there's just such strong ties there that you could see a number of reasons why Disney would kind of swing to the front. And then also, it's just like we just got through talking about how we're confused how you keep the players separate from the patrons. But considering how private Disney is, this is doable. It's there is an answer to this. It's coming. We'll hear it. I'll be fascinated to hear what it is, but there is an answer. When you start talking about the Las Vegas Strip,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
you know, these adults who love to go there, I mean, we know we all go there for summer league, like we all love to be there, but that just seems like one giant petri dish. Mm. And if you were going to hold it in Vegas, then I wouldn't understand then why we couldn't just host it in our cities just and play the playoffs like normal and just do it without fans. Because it's going to be packed and you can't keep people out of casinos and you can't keep the NBA guys out. I don't think that would have been a good idea.
Yeah, it's Vegas. That's probably well put right there. Joe Varden, The Athletic, Disney World's potential message as NBA host, it's safe to come to our parks. I do think, you know, I think, Joe, it's not something I really thought about, and maybe just because nothing's been confirmed, but I think the way you lay out the article of what a brilliant kind of marketing scheme, and what I mean by that is, of course, safety is going to be everything, and you know, Disney World is going to do everything they possibly can to ensure, which nobody – there's no 100% guarantee on anything, especially these days, but they'll do everything they can to make it as safe as possible. But like you mentioned, from a marketing perspective, to come in and out of games and you're showing the Disney World and you're showing the theme parks. And like you mentioned, even if you're potentially showing players that are walking up and down Disney themes or whatever the case is, I could see how that was probably so important to MGM Resorts and Vegas, and obviously how important it is to Disney World, because really what you're trying to show the entire world who's obviously watching the NBA is, no, you can come here. Look what we're doing. You could now get a little bit more reassurance that the timing is better than it was a couple months ago.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a couple things to this. The first is in my story towards the bottom, we quote two marketing gurus, including one who is actually follows Disney very closely. And both of them say, listen, this only really works from a marketing tool, like to the highest degree, if there are people there beyond just the NBA. I actually don't know that I agree with that. And we quote a former high-ranking Disney official who says what I happen to think about this, which is just like showing LeBron and Giannis there for 2 months at all, regardless of who else is in the park, is a good thing for Disney. When you start to think about again the genius of this from a Disney perspective and how much of a marketing ploy. As you know, the ESPN, ABC, of course, is a partner, but they get the Eastern Conference Finals and they get the finals, and TNT gets the Western Conference Finals, and of course, both networks kind of divvy up the playoffs going through. But doing it this way now, every single time TNT shows a playoff game, which has no connection to Disney whatsoever,
sure,
we are going to see cut in and out Disney parks. Every time. Mm-hmm. And every time the ball goes up and down the floor, we're going to see Walt Disney World, Wide World of Sports plastered all over the court. That is stuff you can't even put a price tag on that. Mm-hmm. And you would never have that in any other year when the playoffs are in the, where they're supposed to be. And that is what is that's so great, from a Disney perspective to have that. And it goes way beyond the $1 billion. You know, I'm kind of divvying it up here. Like ESPN, or excuse me, Disney and Turner pay $2.6 billion collectively every year to show these games. So you just kind of cut that up. But people are talking about how, well, Disney wanted to be a host to protect that investment. But that's not really it. Because, like, if those games weren't played, it would be the NBA who would be on the hook to make those two television networks whole. So it's not like Disney is protecting the money it invested. Like, they'd get that money back. This was about sort of the next level, like the marketing, like the marketing total, like we've just discussed, and then this message that it sends, and that's what just makes it so smart.
Joe Varden from The Athletic, if you haven't got a chance to read it, Disney World's potential message as NBA host, it's safe to come to our parks. Joe, I'm gonna get your thoughts. Last couple of days have been interesting. I read off, actually, I played a clip a little bit earlier. Michelle Roberts, she was actually on with Demoris Smith and Tony Clark. So obviously the union heads for Major League Baseball, NBA, and NFL were on with Bryant Gumbel on HBO's Real Sports. So I'll just read off the quote, and I'll get your thoughts on this. She was asked the likelihood of her sport returning in 2020 on a scale of 1 to 10. She said, recent concerns expressed by players now that baby's children have been infected. She said, last week she was at an 8. This week it's more down to a 6 because of, like I just mentioned, some heightened concerns based on the conversation she's had with some of the players. Where do you just feel? Because I feel like every time, and I know this is just – this is the circumstances that we're under – you feel positive one day, and then another day you might say, man, I don't know if there's enough data out there for these leagues to really try and figure this out. Just from your personal opinion, how do you feel that we'll get that opportunity to play out the rest of the season?
Yeah, man, I'm at probably like a 9, 9.5, 10. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think I think the decision has been made to do this, and all the momentum is heading in that direction. And of course, the players are. Some players are thinking this through and thinking about having some reservations from a safety perspective. But I just think the league overall understands the potential for just huge, huge monetary losses if they don't play. And unlike baseball, there is right now some real trust between the players and the owners. You know, it's not 100%, but it's certainly better, I think, than in baseball. And I think that the appetite is there to play, for the majority of certainly the best teams in the league. I think the Lakers want to play for sure, and LeBron wants to play, and Anthony wants to play, you know, for sure. And I know the Clippers want to go, you know, Kawhi Leonard's ready to go, Paul George is ready to go. Their coaches are ready to go. You think about the Milwaukee Bucks. They want to play. I think the interesting one there, though, is Giannis with the newborn. Because now you start thinking about being separate from his young son. Like, this is his first summer. Like, that one, and I'm not as well connected with Giannis as I am with some of the LA guys. So I couldn't tell you for sure how Giannis feels about this, but I think the appetite is there to want to play overall, among the union. I do not think that it's 50-50. And so yes, of course there are concerns, but I think it's going to happen. I do.
Joe, final question. Out of all these different playoff ideas being thrown out there, and you know, I know that these are just ideas. Hopefully we get more of a clear lens by Friday, and maybe it's not going to be Friday, but out of the different ideas being thrown out, is there one that stands out more to you? Would you like to keep it as is, or is one of these other formats draw some interest?
Yes to everything, Alan. Yes, on the one hand, I don't think they should mess with this at all. We had too much of a regular season, and doing something goofy like with a play-in, or my goodness, even this idea of pool play, like we're like all of a sudden this is the World Cup, like that totally diminishes, I mean, that almost eradicates what we had in the regular season. Like, we shouldn't do that. We played 65-plus games or whatever. You know, the Lakers did great. The Bucks did great. The Clippers were good, you know, whatever. The Raptors, amazing for them. Like, we should reward that as much as we can. And then also, this is an unprecedented situation, and for the first and only time ever, All the playoff teams are going to be in one spot. So if you want to reseed and just do 1 through 16 and have cross-conference first-round matchups, like, you don't have that dramatically unfair scenario of like, cross-country first-round travel. So that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, now is the time to do crazy stuff like that. I still fall on the side of I think they should keep it as normal as possible because of what, you know, how many games were played already. But I do get it, and if you ever had a time to experiment, now is the time.
Joe Varden from The Athletic, go read his article, Disney World's Potential Message as NBA Host. It's safe to come to our parks. Joe, greatly appreciate the time and great insight as well, all right?
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, Joe. That's Joe Varden right there from The Athletic. Let's stay on the NBA and we come back. I mentioned this a little bit earlier. I do want to hit on a couple points that Joe mentioned. I do kind of find that part fascinating about how much, you know, if you make it the safe environment and then all of a sudden all these games are represented technically by Disney, that is kind of a genius marketing ploy as well. But the Damian Lillard on Jalen and Jacoby, who talks about what a potential matchup would be against the Lakers in the playoffs, on saying he won't come back if season resumes, give a little bit more reasoning behind that. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Oh, my man, the Slee Stack.
All right, great stuff from Joe Varden, Athletic. You know, every time I ask the question of what that playoff format should look like or what people kind of where they're leaning towards. By the way, I love the part Joe Varden saying, no, I think this is happening. 9, 9.5, 10. Let me tell a quick, actually, Joe Varden story. So I don't know Joe very well. It's the first time I've had him on the show, and a really nice guy. But my interaction's been very, very minimal with him. And I remember it was last season. I'd go into the Lakers locker room. Remember, obviously, I didn't have that opportunity this year because I'd be doing post-game shows. So I, at the end of the third quarter, I'm pretty much going back to the studio. So last season, I'd go into the locker rooms. And after everyone would be done talking with LeBron, so like LeBron would do his interview and, you know, all the media's around, which was as hectic as can possibly be. Everybody wants to talk to LeBron. So LeBron's done. And a couple times, I'm like, who's this guy? And it was Joe Varden, who's just having these side conversations with LeBron like they're buddies. And I don't know how close they are. I really don't. But obviously he has a personal relationship with some of these, you know, Laker players. And he had mentioned that. He said that, you know, he didn't know what Giannis's take would be on things, but that he had a better pulse for some of these NBA players. But just fantastic work. And it's great to hear someone like him say that, no, the players all definitely want in. They want to make this happen. They want to figure it out. Now, there's only so much control that they have. When I even mentioned to him the quote from Michelle Roberts earlier today with Brian Gumbel from HBO Sports, when I mentioned that and him kind of firing back saying, I feel good that this is going to happen. Let's see what happens on Friday. Let's see what happens over this next 10 days or so and see if we could have some momentum there. So everybody has a different preference when it comes to the playoff picture, right? Crosstalk, Mason and I were both saying we love the 1 through 16 and then have a couple teams face off to get into that play-in game. Yesterday, I was reading off all these tweets where a lot of listeners were saying, Al, you're crazy. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Keep it as is. Why do we have to change it? And then Ireland mentioned that World Cup format. Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer joined the Mason and Ireland show, and that's the another idea that's thrown out there. Funch has mentioned he liked that too. So everybody has a different preference. I think all of us feel good that whatever happens would be fantastic because we would actually get to finish the season off and we get to watch sports again, and it's obviously safe enough for health officials to give the green light for the NBA season to resume. Now, one thing that I always love is hearing from players. So Damian Lillard, obviously the guard for the Portland Trail Blazers, one of the stars in the NBA, was on Jalen and Jacoby. He made a lot of news yesterday because he came out, had a conversation with Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports, and basically said, look, if I don't have a shot to make the playoffs, don't expect me to be playing. Doris Burke, you heard her a little bit earlier on Get Up, say he's got a valid point. To get a chance to hear specifically from Damian Lillard is what I want to do. And this is how he would design the season resuming.
If I could, I would, you know, design some type of play-in tournament between all the teams that were in striking distance. Because, you know, Sacramento was playing their best basketball of the season. So was New Orleans. And so were we. And none of those teams were in the playoffs, but we were within striking distance, you know, with enough games left in the season to catch Memphis. So I feel like a play-in tournament would be perfect. Just because we actually were in striking distance and also had enough games to get in the playoffs. But to that point, if they did decide that, you know, we just gonna go straight to the playoffs, obviously we would all be disappointed. But to this point, we haven't performed to be in that top eight. So if that's the case, then fine. But if we're gonna just come back to play games, I feel like that would make it, you know, that'd be harder on everybody else.
All right, that's Damian Lillard right there with Jalen and Jacoby. Curtis, I got a real question for you. A real, real question.
And not your a fake honest, one.
Listen. Your honest opinion, because I am actually a big fan of Damian Lillard. Like, I do like his style. I do like his game. I feel like he's one of the real ones in the NBA. You're not going to get BS answers. He's as honest as, you know, as he can be, at least for as much information that he wants to give out. Do you think when he says, I think a play-in game for those are within striking distance, you think he's still saying that if they're in the eighth spot and Memphis is 3.5 games out?
I mean, if you're being real, it's like everyone's looking out for themselves. So, you know, there's got to be some ulterior, a little bit of positioning, mm-hmm. obviously, but because I don't know if Steph Curry would say the same thing, but I'm not surprised that he said that. But it's nice at least he's not BSing it, you know what I mean? At least he's upfront about it. But
well, I also like, you know, he says at the end there too, he's like, listen, we haven't played up to our standards. We're not in the top eight. So if they do decide, no, we're just going to take the top eight. And Doris Burke and, you know, her making her argument saying, don't you want the least amount of players and the least amount of teams participating? So those that really had no shot at the playoffs. And what she's talking about from that perspective is just – from a health perspective, right? The smaller the number is, the less chance that, you know, people can test positive for COVID or whatever the case is. Okay, Damian Lillard, a little bit more on this, on saying he won't come back if season resumes. He goes into a little bit further with Jalen and Jacoby.
I mean, I felt like the way the story was written, it was taken out of context because it was a casual conversation. And it was like, expletive this, expletive that. But it wasn't a demonstrative statement. I was just saying, you know, we've been off for 2 months. And if we come back, we want to play for something. You know what I mean? So after this type of break, usually when you come back, you know, especially with how fast we're going to be jumping into playing, you know, I think guys are at risk of injury. Also at risk of, you know, being exposed to whatever because, you know, none of us have been around each other. If so many teams are going to be in one spot. So there's so many things out there that, you know, we could be at risk of. So, I mean, if we're going to do it, obviously as players, we want to play, but we want to play for something, especially if we were in position to play for that in the first place.
Jess, you know what bothers me sometimes? I'll tell you what bothers me, okay? Sometimes
what bothers you, Alan? Tell me.
When you get two sides of the story and the other side just sounds so genuine about it. I'm like, damn, Damian. Like, don't you just want Damian to not sound that thoughtful in his response? Like, when you hear him get a chance to really break it down, how easy are quotes taken out of context? And that's what he's referring to, right? Listen, I could see the argument that he's making. I hope if the NBA does come back and they're asking these teams, and I've said this before, I said it yesterday too, I genuinely feel there's going to be some kind of play-in tournament. I really do. Because the NBA knows how big that could potentially be from a revenue perspective, from an interest perspective, from a viewership perspective. And stars like Damian Lillard and Zion Williamson would still have chances to make the playoffs. So I think that, you know, obviously could eventually happen. But, you know, obviously Dame – breaking down what he thinks on that. All right, last thing I want to play from Damian Lillard. On the potential matchup with the Lakers in the playoffs. Obviously, the Lakers are sitting at the number one seed in the West. If Portland did some kind of play-in tournament and they got in, by the way, that's not an easy out to get the Portland Trailblazers in round one. Here's Damian Lillard's thoughts on that.
It'll be fun. You know, I think the kind of season that we've had has been a challenging season. We haven't had, you know, the most success, you know, but we've continued to battle and we know what we're capable of when things do click. And, you know, in the playoffs, it's just about, you know, who's playing the best, who's in the best rhythm. So we know that we'd have a chance against anybody. Obviously, the Lakers would be the toughest. And that, you know, that'd be a tough one to pull off. But, you know, we professionals, we always going to be here for that type of challenge.
All right, that's Damian Lillard on Jalen and Jacoby. Spent a lot of time on the NBA. I do want to switch gears and get the latest on Major League Baseball. Of course, that's going to be a conversation that's continuing as well. I feel like both of these sports, by the way, the Major League Baseball and the NBA, I don't want to say they're on the same levels, but they're definitely on the same time frame, as in when one comes back, you feel like it's going to be, what, within 10 days that both of them are playing at the same time. We'll hear from Jeff Passan, who was on SportsCenter. We'll also get a chance to listen to Max Kellerman, who was on First Take, and we'll talk about the latest plan for Major League Baseball to try and come back. We'll do that coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. At any point, if you want to be a part of the show, happy to discuss any topic that you have on your mind. 877-710-ESPN. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.